very type of offering, actual and imagined. I declare all my negative actions accumulated since beginningless time and rejoice in the merit of all holy and ordinary beings. Please remain until the end of cyclic existence and during the Wheel of Dharma for living beings. I dedicate my own merits and those of all others to the great enlightenment. This ground, anointed with perfume, strewn with flowers, adorned with Mount Meru, four continents, the sun and the moon. I imagine this is a Buddha field and offer it. May all living beings enjoy this pure land. O holy and perfect pure Lama, from the clouds of compassion that form in the skies of your Dharmakaya wisdom, please release a rain of vast and profound Dharma, precisely in accordance with the needs of those to be trained. Idam Guru Ratnamandalakam Niryatayami. Now we'll do the praises to the 21 Taras on the green sheets. From your sublime abode at the Potala, O Tara born from the green letter Tam, your crown adorned with Amitabha, action mother of the Buddhas of the three times, Tara, please come with your attendants. The gods and demigods bow to your lotus feet, O Tara, you who rescue all who are destitute. To you, Mother Tara, I pay homage. Whom I prostrate to the noble transcendent liberator. Homage, Tara, swift, heroic, eyes like lightning instantaneous, sprung from opening stamens of the Lord of Thiru's turban lotus. Homage, she whose face combines 100 autumn moons at fullest, blazing with white rays resplendent as a 1,000-star collection. Homage, golden, blue, and lotus, water-born and hand-adorned, giving effort, calm austerities, patience, meditation, her sphere. Homage, crown of Tathagatas, action triumph without limit, relied on by conqueror's children, having reached every perfection. Homage, filling with Tutare, whom desire direction and space, trampling with their feet the seven worlds, able to draw forth all beings. Worship by the All Lord, Shaka Ani Brahma Maru, honored by the host of spirits, corpses, earth, Gandhavas, Yakshas, homage with her chant and piss sound, destroying false magic diagrams, her feet pressing left out right, and blazing in a raging fireblaze, homage to her, a very dreadful destroyer of Mara's champions, she with frowning lotus visage, who was slayer of all enemies, homage at the heart of fingers, adorn her with three jamuja, light ray masses all excited, all directions fields adorn her, homage, she's so joyous, radiant, crown emitting garlands of her, laughing with Tutare, subjugating Mara's devas. Homage, she able to summon all Earth Guardians' assembly, shaking, frowning with her home sign, saving from every misfortune. Homage, crown adorned with crescent, moon on ornaments most shining, Amitabha in her hair knot, sending out much light eternal. Homage, Mithrita Blaza, Gyan Jenning fire abiding, fire self and joy surround you, troops of enemies destroy. Homage, she who strikes the ground, her palm and with her foot beats it, scowling with the letter home, the seven levels she does conquer. Homage, happy, virtuous, peaceful, she whose field is peace, nirvana, she endowed with omen soha, destroyer of the great evil. Homage, she with joy surrounded, tearing foes' bodies asunder, priestess whom a knowledge mantra, arrangement of the 10 letters. Homage to a received letter of the shape of syllable, whom perfect sensing takes his three rows, Meru, Mandara, and Vindhya. Homage holding in her hand the hammock moon of Devalek, was by spoken Tara and Pit, totally dispelling poison. Homage, she whom gods and their kings and the Kinaras do honor. Armored in all joyful splendor, she dispels thy dreams and conflicts. Homage, she whose two eyes bright with radiance of sun and full moon, with Vaisara and Tutare, she dispels severe contagion. Homage, full of liberating power by the set of three natures, to success the spirit yakshas and raise corporate supreme today. These praises with the root mantras and prostrations of Sara 21. Whoever is endowed with devotion for the goddess and recites this with supreme faith, remembering at dawn upon waking and in the evenings, will be granted all fearlessness, will perfectly pacify all negativities, and will eliminate all unfortunate migrations. The multitudes of conquerors will quickly grant initiation. Thus endowed with this greatness, one will eventually reach a state of a Buddha. If affected by the most terrible poison, whether ingested, drunk, or from a living being, just by remembering will one be thoroughly cleansed. If this prayer is recited 2, 3, or 7 times, it will pacify all the sufferings of torments caused by spirits, fevers, and poisons, and by other beings as well. If you wish for a child, you will get a child. If you wish for wealth, you will receive wealth. all your wishes will be fulfilled and all obstacles pacified. And then if you'll turn back to the front of the bay sheet, let's read, accepting difficulties is the path. Even if the environment and beings are filled with the fruits of negativity and unwished for sufferings pour down like rain, I seek your blessing to take these miserable conditions as a path by seeing them as causes to exhaust the results of my negative karma. In short, no matter what appearances arise, be they good or bad, I seek your blessing to transform them into a path, increasing the two bodhicittas to the practice of the five forces, the quintessence of the entire Dharma, and thus to meditate only on mental happiness. Now, after we do the Lama Tsongkhapa Guru Yoga, Geshe will probably start chanting the Refuge and Bodhicitta prayer, and it's right there, right under the two verses that we just read. And let's see. If you've never been here before, if you have a silver book, we'll be doing the Lama Tsongkhapa Daily Guru Yoga Meditation on page 17. No, not there. 22. Mm-hmm. And if you have the booklet, it's on page 7. And in the actual text, the Great Treatise on the Stages of the Path to Enlightenment, I believe we're doing the Seven Limb Prayer, starting on page 94. And I think we stopped at mental obeisance. Is that how you pronounce it? On page 95. We read the foundations of good qualities while we're waiting. It's actually in this book. We just started reading, memorizing it. It's on page 31 in the silver book. No, you don't have to. It's okay. Okay. in the prayer book or in the pamphlet, page 20, actual guru, you to learn Tsongkhapa. It will emanate from the heart of the 100 Devas. I request come to an alliance throne, lotus and mundus. The perfect pure Lama smiles with delight, supreme field of the merit of mind's devotion. 100 eons to increase the extent of objects to be known. Here, fortunate one. Body is glowing and
glowing.
From equal clouds of compassion, wisdom, and the sky of Dharmakaya, may grain fall of profound and extensive teachings of whatever is suitable for the earth, the sentient beings, or the objects to be subdued. I dedicate whatever virtues I have ever collected for the benefit of the teachings and of all sentient beings, and are in particular for the essential teachings of Venerable Losang Drapa to shine forever. Now, if you turn to page 26, in the silver prayer book, or page 13 in the booklet, let's recite the five-line prayer to Lama Tsongkhapa 21 times to ourselves, and then I'll chant the last one so you know when to stop.
Second verse of the dedication.
and all my life to the victorious one, Laman Tsongkhapa. May I never turn aside for even an instant from the excellent path traced by the victorious one.
Good evening. How's your elephant? How's elephant? Good? Elephant become calm when you are sick. When you are sick, elephant become very calm. Did you answer my question? How's your elephant? There's one text called, Essence of, actually it's called Essence of Emptiness. That's the name of the text. Uma means middle way. Uma Nyingbo, this Essence of Middle Way, that's the name of the text. So in that text, it mentions like this, Yiji Langbo, draw Allah's. So then in that text, it's like mine is considered as elephant. Elephant, Yiji Langbo, draw So our job is now take care of the elephant, our job. But that elephant is very powerful, not easy to take care. So our job is to catch that elephant, then tie. Yiji Langbo Dovalas. Mind is like elephant. It's on the move. Yiji Langbo Dovalas. Mikbe Kawa Tembolas. Mikba is object. It's considered as like a pillar. Very, very strong, firm and strong pillar. Chenpe Tabe Ngechung. So Chenpa is mindfulness. It's like rope. Mindfulness like rope, to tie that elephant, on that hitching post, tie the elephant. The mindfulness is like rope, ching is like bind, Make sure that, it's not like, I think I tied the elephant, not like that, Make sure that you tie elephant on the hitching post. Then don't just assume that you already tied there, so you may not tie, You may just brought there and think that you tied there, but actually it's not really tied there. Sometimes elephant tricks, So elephant may sit there still a little bit, So then you think, okay, it's tied, already tied there. So then you go somewhere else, the elephant will run away. Shut up, it's the wisdom. Wisdom, it's like the tools, tools to train that elephant, So, so this is good, way to explain the purpose of meditation. Is to to tie that elephant into that pillars. Otherwise, so that means in this case, Sherab Jagju Rimuachas, that then eventually you can able to tie the elephant. In the beginning, probably just forget about tying elephant there, so even just caging elephant, that will probably take a long time, even just caging that, you know. So when you're able to catch the elephants, so then job is to tie it to the pillars. In this case, could be your own breath, you know, could be done through breathing meditation, or you can visualize something, you know, something. The whole point is to make sure that your mind is there, okay? So that's important. Shut up, just remove it. Then it says, rim means, you know, how you say, it's not eventually, it's like sequentially. First, 1 second, maybe second times, maybe 2 seconds, maybe third time, maybe 3 seconds, then a little bit slower. That's what it means, sequentially means, you know. We cannot expect that we can tie the elephant there like 5 minutes, you know, so that's not good to, you know, I think that's not a skillful way to do, you know. So sequentially means, you know, so first you can concentrate maybe 1 second, then 2 seconds, then you know, slowly, that length of time is increased. So that's what it means, you know, rim wang chas. So then you will, you will gain the control over that elephant sequentially, okay, there. So that's, I think, Sarah just want to share that. Should have to rim wang chas. So now here, I think last three Sundays, so you know we have been talking about happiness, you know, happiness. So also in the prayer, you know, we pray to achieve happiness, you know, happiness. In the text, it mentions two types of happiness: divine happiness, human happiness. You know, divine happiness. You know, I myself has no clue, clueless, no clue. No. So I did heard about, you know, divine beings, their lifespan, their size of their bodies, you know, how long to live, you know, so they're, but, you know, practical level, clueless. So anyway, then human happiness, so, human happiness, then it comes down, you know, physical happiness, mental happiness. So then, I very much like to, you know, hear more from your side, how we define happiness, okay, happiness. And physical happiness is, you know, relatively, I think, easy to understand, or understand. So then mental happiness. So then physical happiness, what I notice, you know, like, if you've been like walking around, like I say, 1 hour, going around, then you get tired. Then you sit, then it's kind of relief. You say, actually, no, you, we may not experience what you call pleasure or happiness, I'm not sure, what you call up sitting, you know, we may not enjoy, you know, if you just, you know, if you're sitting all the time. So, you know, if you combine that sitting with the walking, then you, there's, you know, I'm short moment, then you, short moment, you kind of enjoying sitting. Is that physical happiness? Is that physical happiness? So, so we need to, think a little more. Before we hope to achieve happiness, we have to understand what is happening, what is the cause of happiness. Okay, so then, how is about, you know, eating like warm chocolate chip cookie from the Whole Food? Yeah. How long? You know, how long? Minute you bite that chocolate, kind of melts. It has to be warm, you know, warm. So. So anyway, so that is that happiness? Is that happiness? Is physical happiness? Is that just, so So there's all this, there's so much, I think, so much study has been done, you know, so much study has been doing now, so much study is going to do in the future, you know, about happiness. So, so the some of the, that you watch, that movie called Happiness, so that is, happy, yeah, happy, with the big smile, has the yeah, smile face. Interesting, they know, because these are all expert. So some of them are psychologists, been doing psychologists, some of them doing studying happiness, like 25 years. Anyway, so interesting. So they interview different people in different parts of the world. So I think it's important, you know, to study. So now, this all study, this movie is, you know, driven by scientific mind. That's why they, you know, went to so many different parts of the world, interview people. So now, from the spiritual point of view, you know, from the Buddhist point of view, you know, everything has to have cause and conditions, right? Cause and condition. Happiness also has to have cause. So therefore, the reason I'm saying this, so on one hand, I want you to, you know, think a little more, to contribute. On Sunday, you know, maybe write it down, you know, so your idea about happiness, and it will, you know, and I will read, and it will benefit of everybody, you know. On Sunday, there's a lot of people comes, so then at least, you know, it's all about, you know, it's all about giving and sharing. It's all about giving and sharing. You're sharing your knowledge, your experience with others. It's all, you know, life is, I think, all about, you know, sharing and giving. Sharing and giving. So therefore, I think the founder of the Buddhism, Shakyamuni Buddha, said very clearly, you know, whatever he taught, it's all about, you know, wisdom, to develop wisdom. So, you know, according to Buddhism, the wisdom is the solutions. So, no wisdom, no happiness. We are not going to be contained by desire. Shut up, you know, then you are going to be content or satisfied, or you are going to be happier, you know, by wisdom. Wisdom, makes sense? By wisdom. You know, wisdom. So then throughout the day, we interact with the peoples. We go to shopping, you know, shopping centers, you know, we buy, we go to grocery store, shopping center, we drive, and we go to gas stations, you know. We go to see, you know, the day-to-day life, you know, there's the day-to-day life activity. So many things happen, you know, meeting people, you know, hearing different opinions, you know, different, and your own opinions. And fortunately, most of the times, you know, unfortunately, most of the times, you know, so not everybody has same opinions, you know. Okay. So day to day, like throughout the day, you know, so there's like, maybe we can learn, if we cannot achieve happiness, at least we can learn how to protect happiness that we have, you know, at least, but we learn how to protect. So then maybe from there, so maybe we learn how to, you know, build happiness. So according to Buddhism, so all I can say is, you know, this is very much dependent on wisdom. The wisdom is the, you know, solution. So, Yangla did not have to be shut up to the souls. Yangla did not have everything that Shakyamuni Buddha taught is taught for wisdom. Okay, develop wisdom. Therefore, somebody out there wanting to overcome from suffering, develop wisdom. Teaching Dungata, she wanted to be shut up to the to develop wisdom. So so that's why this class is all about wisdom. To try to generate wisdom, okay. So Lamjim, this book. out of 800 pages, how many classes have been? So far, looks like we finished 55 pages. That's pretty good news. Out of 800, we finished 55. That's good. This is getting close to the end, but not the it's a movie. used to go backward. So now at least not going backward, it's going forward. So this book, you know, it's called Lamrim. Lam, no, it's Pat. Pat. Or in the Sanskrit word, you can say Yana. Yana Pat. Rim is stages. In these books, you know, all the paths laid down by Lama Tsongkhapa very precisely, you know, step by step. Okay? So, I think last, so far what we covered, importance of cleaning the environment. So hope there will be no meetings. Who's going to clean? How many? Hopefully it will minimize the meeting between cleaning the house. So there's no, first is no, so that's what we discussed. That was what I explained. Importance of, you know, cleaning environment. Any form of practice that you do, you clean your environment. So as I said, that cleaning may seem like very easy, you know, but you know that cleaning itself could become a very important part of practice. If you visualize. So basically, you know, being mindful of your cleaning environment. You know, so when you see dust. What else? So here you don't have much dust at home because our home is kind of clean. So what else you have? We have garbage in those things. When you go to grocery store, the cleaning, especially the dishes. So what, you know, all the, you know, like the everything that needs to be clean. So you can think, you know, that's not just, you know, dust. It's, you know, it's like, it's my anger, it's my attachment, it's my jealousy. So if you practice like that, you know, so that somehow, you know, it will benefit your mind. Okay, somehow it will benefit your mind. Okay, then so then after the cleaning invited, I think I read this part. Where we stop?
About mental homage.
Did we talk about the postulations?
Yes.
Okay. So now probably like mental prostration, I think that's where we stop, right? Mental prostration. No? as I said, no, this is like right now it's all knowledge, so we are learning here. We are learning, okay? So then purpose of learning is not to share. So hoping there will be more teachers from this class at the center, then many more people can teach class at the center, okay? That's the goal. Maybe more people can teach Lamrim class, okay? So, postulations. Every, you know, major religion tradition has, you know, some form of postulation. So here, definition, I think, chak, tell. You know, that's Tibetan word, chak, tell. Chak means, you know, clean. Tell means, you know, that you are kind of expressing wish that whatever that, you know, quality has been explained in the Lamrim that you wish to generate, you wish to have those kind of qualities, okay? Chak, tsel. That's the posture in Tibetan word. Chak, tsel. Chak means, you know, clean, okay? Chak, you know, clean, all the, you know, negative. That, you know, so that comes with the verbal, that comes with mind, that comes with the physically, negative, that comes with the physically, mentally, verbally, so then, you know, clean that, you know, then chak. Chak means, you know, then wishing that, you know, gentle mind, calm mind, peaceful mind, loving kindness, compassion, you know, gentle word, you know, gentle actions, that's what you're wishing, that's what you say, prostration, okay. I think good to understand. I think every, that the generally speaking, the definition of prostration is like that, you know, so that cleaning and wishing, you know, all positive quality of mind, positive quality of, you know, speech, positive quality of, you know, physical act, you know, like that, or that's the definition of prostration, okay? It's clear? Or definition of prostration? So that's the definition of prostration. So then prostrations, there's no physical prostrations, you know, they're full length, so that's what we do. Then short one, it says, you know, touch your five limbs, two hands, two knees, forehead. That's short one, you know, then you don't go down all the way on the floor. You just go halfway, that's short prostrations. So then, you know, in India, you see that, you see, you know, in, because that's where the Buddha Dhamma was born, in India. So now, whenever you see, when you go to India, you know, especially the children, you know, children, when they see their parents, you know, so they touch, the hand touch their feet, you know, that's prostration, you know. It used to be like, no, you grab their legs, no. So right now it's their dream that they just touch their feet. That's another form of prostration. But somehow, no, that type of prostration doesn't carry on into Tibet. No, Tibet with that, as I mentioned, the full length and the short one. So that's also another form of prostration, touching. So there's very much life in India. So, so you do that for everybody, or you do that for your family member?
Old elders.
Yeah, so that's, you know, beautiful, I say, that respect, ensuring respect, you know, respect. So, like, do they do voluntarily, or they voluntarily? Yeah. So we need, you know, before they, whenever they see their, you know, elder people, especially in their family, you know, they just touch, you know. And clearly you see, you know, when that happens, you see, you know, the other person is not really demanding that. Other person is kind of, you know, sometimes kind of pushing, not really demanding, but, you know, the way of showing respect. So that also leads back to that 16 guideline that we've been teaching to the kids at the center. It's one of them, you know, showing respect, okay. So that somehow doesn't, you know, when the Buddha Dharma went to Tibet, so somehow that, you know, kind of like that practice is not went there. So anyway, I don't know how, why. You know, so anyway, that's the physical prostration. So then, so now here, today here we are So here, this is now a mental prostration. So, duji tena shebe tije chide. So, tije chide. So, anybody has King of Prayer here? King of Prayer?
I think they are quoting it in the book.
Okay, good. So, can you read that, like something about Adams?
Yes.
What it says? Duji tena dunya sanjana. Sanjana sijana shebe.
Upon one particle there are Buddhas as numerous as the particles of those worlds, and all are seated in the midst of their children. In this way, all are spheres of reality. I imagine conquerors filling all of those particles.
So, dujitena dunya sanjana, sanjana dujitena dunya sanjana. What do you think? Huh? Oh. What is it?
On every island, we found a Buddha sitting in its countless Buddhist
sons. Sanjay says, the say, you know, sometimes when you literally translate, you lose the meaning. So there should be child. So I think I correct this many times. That not because I'm just trying to make some of you happy. So not that's not true. So what is true is that translation is not correct. No, se, if you literally just se, there's a word in Tibetan called se. If you literally translate, no, that's, then that's like how you say sun. Actually, no, it's like that's like that word that carries like close bound. Yeah, tied close. That word, you know, must be translated child. It's not like, you know, some tradition, I think, like, do they call the, every child, the close child, they call son? It's not much of a gender. So they call, you know, son. That doesn't mean, you know, there's, you know, there's boy, you know, it's like, could be girl, you know. So you call that, it shows kind of, you know, how you say, close bound. There's no close to your heart. That's why you call it son. It doesn't mean, you know, there's nothing to do with the gender things. So they call, I think, they call, you know, their children son, but that's not, it's not. So anyway, so that not just this case, you know, there's another case when we're starting Buddhist vows. So it should be child. So that, then, you know, that's really what it means, you know. Actually, it doesn't mean a boy or girl or. So now this is no dujik tena dunye sanjena dujik means no on top of one atoms. So there's every atom, you know, that's what it calls enlightened beings. So now chokju tisumje tishinsha ba tamje chokju the 10 direction, you know, east, west, north, south, southeast, then there's the what is called like south is then there's you know, then up and down, there's 10 directions. Basically, when you are doing prostration, you are visualizing all the holy beings, you know, from the 10 directions. You know, they visualize not just one particular one, just one being, you know, so to create vast, the idea behind this is to create vast amount of merit. To do one prostration, if you visualize, like, you know, enlightened beings from the 10 directions, you should visualize that. Say, if you visualize 1 million enlightened beings, if you do one prostration, that's like 1 million prostrations. But you cannot count. When you count one, okay? So that needs to be clear. That needs to be very, very clear. When you count one. But, you know, the benefit that merit that you created equivalent merit of, you know, like many, there's a chokju, 10 directions in the past, the present, and the futures. So when it comes down on merit, you can be taxing, think big, you know, everything has to be big, you know. So extra large, you know, everything, you know, you just imagine it's huge, you know. So then, you know, through that you create, you know, vast amount of merit. So why is merit so important? Because that's, according to Buddhism, that's the cause for happiness, believe it or not. The merit is cause for happiness. That's why. So more merit, you know, so then leads to happiness, okay. So that's what you're visualizing. You're visualizing not just one, you're visualizing the space filled with this enlightened being, then doing prostration. Okay, that's mental prostration. No? So now, if you are not, you know, physically able to do prostration, you can still do prostration. Verbal, mental prostration, no? You can do, okay? Do tarap relating now, do. Dul tarap relating now, dul tanje tamben yambe, sanje yambe, sanje kor changben je kor unu shiba tada yune je tu mi bache baos. So they're recalling the qualities of those, you know, enlightened beings, or remembering the qualities, you know, enlightened beings, then, you know, doing prostration. So now the verbal prostration, you know, is just, every topic in this here, if you want to know little more details, We can talk later. We can talk about detail about prostrations. Right now, that's enough. Okay. If you want to know more details about that, then we can talk later. Okay. Otherwise, I think probably stuck in one page, maybe a couple of weeks. So this is no good. So now the verbal prostration. So then because digit na dunya sanje 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 sanje. So now verbal prostrations are mainly, you know, like praise. So praise. So what it says here?
Yes.
So probably that includes every praise that, you know, we say, oh, that she's very wonderful, she's very kind, they have very gentle heart, always worry about other people. These are all, whether you call prostration or not, it is prostrations. Okay, this is verbal prostrations. No, how you say, talking about the yeah, good things about people, you know, this is all prostrations. Then, of course, you know, talking about the qualities of, you know, the enlightened beings. In this case, you know, it's all prostrations, Nagacha. There's one saying, so I just want to share that with you. They're saying Tibetan, you don't have to criticize others. You don't have to criticize others, but you know what you can do. You don't have to do the same things. Say, if other person is, the reason that we criticize some other people, we see something that we don't like. Whether, you know, the way the person talk, the way the person walk. You know, we criticize all kinds of things. We criticize about the hair, we criticize about the clothes, we criticize about all kinds of things, right? So then at least there's Shela Mimigo, you don't have to criticize, at least you don't have to do the very things that you are criticizing about. Shela Mimigo, what I'm sure. Shela Mimigo is like that, I'm not sure. Like, you don't have to praise others, but you can do the same thing. That means, you know, you can do the good things too. So anyway, praising. Verbally praise, this is no like verbal prostration, okay? Then, in these books, when it comes down to negative things, they are advising you do the most minimum. When it comes down to positive, they want you to do the most huge. That's what they're talking about. Everything's big, you know. Everything's big. You know, some people, you know, naturally like that. You know, when you talk to some people, there's people, you know, like who never criticize anybody, you know. So they always, you know, whenever you talk, they always say something good about other people, you know. So when you start to say something negative, they just mute. They just mute. They don't say anything. They don't participate. They are just silent. You know, when you take something good, and they, you know, and some people are like that, you know, so like they always, you know, something to so good things to say about, you know. Then it comes. There's another saying, so you don't have to wear, yourself. I say, you don't have to wear. What does that mean? Wear means?
Oh, how much you weigh.
Yeah, okay. You don't have to wear yourself. You know, so other people will wear. How much you weigh, you know. So here, you know, we weigh ourselves all the time in the scale. We all have a scale, so that's not what it means. So you understand what I mean? Okay. Language you got so let me change. So So now here the Chazavada Chuji. So now we are going through what we call seven limb practice, okay? First one, prostrations. Second one, offerings. So now the prostration is the direct antidote for pride. Pride, no? So you're throwing yourself, no? So there's always in your mind there's, you know, something above you. It's not like I'm the, not everybody's below me, you know, there's something above you. So there's always, you know, like that you do that deliberately, okay? That's like direct antidote for pride, okay? Oh, yeah. So then, now the offering. Offering is the direct antidote for stinginess. Stinginess about idea, about knowledge, then about, you know, possessions, wealth, so on and so forth. So then there's that between the, this is not here, it's just list, it just mentioned the first word, but, you know, it's the rest of the word is kind of hidden. So it looks like in English translation, they put all the words. So if you're wondering, that's coming from prayer called King of Prayer. King of Prayer, if you look at that, so that's all, this book is, you know, they're copying from the King of Prayer, this prayer called King of Prayer. In that prayer, you know, that's like the elaborate seven limb practices there. So that's what they are, you know, pulling out from this book. Medo tamba, chiwa tamba, medo tamba, you know, this is like metok. Metok, flower, in Tibetan word, metok, flower. Medo tamba means best flower. Chiwa, so then, you know, the best perfume, best, you know, smell, best food, all of that, you know, best food. So it doesn't happen here, it happened in Tibet, you know, so when we make, especially when you make ritual cake, then you need what you call tsampa. Tsampa means just roasted barley flour, it's already cooked. So what you do, you know, the breakfast is pretty much, well, I also eat here, you know, you can get from New York, because there's a lot of Tibetan people there, so they make this barley, roasted barley flour. You basically put some butter in some tea, just eat like that, no, it's already cooked. Anyway, so there is no that tsampa can make out of rice or then what you call peas, the round of peas, chickpeas, not really, no, chickpeas is kind of soft, it's not like, it's the pet peas is kind of hard, you can, if you bite, it's like very round, it's round. Anyway. Huh? No, it's not down. So I think it's not important to know. Sorry. So it's not important to know. So anyway, so there's different kind of grain that you make tsampa. And some of the grain is kind of valuable, more expensive. Some of them less expensive. So in Tibet, you know, in Tibet, like, sometimes it happens, you know, that when you want to eat tsampa, so then you want to eat the best tsampa. So when you're about to make ritual cake, then you say, okay, make sure that you don't use the best tsampa, make sure that you use one that, you know, we give to animals, like that. So that's not a good idea. Okay, so we have to make, if you want to make offering, you should make the best of the best flour, best incense, you know, best of everything, okay? So this is like garland, flower garland in Hawaii, you know, they use India, you know, very, very famous in India, especially in the, like, festivals. You can buy all kind of, you know, flower garlands, you know. Politicians are yeah, politicians, politicians, anyway. So it's been used at all occasions, you know. There's like the offerings, you know, like flower offerings. So, Taiwan is the garland, medo, naso, pelde, jiva, this. So then, different flowers, the yellow, red, and all kind of mixed different colors. So, tiniga yang, muda, jumatam, jito, singing, so then, you know, music, the music offering, so, Romo, Juji, Tang, Biba, Dumas, Tuan, so, Yubani, so then the perfume, Duk, you know, so then what you call umbrella, banner, umbrella, so then light offering, so, man, me say, then, the light actually, you know, the food is for tongue, the light is for eye, smell is for nose, then perfume, the flower, this all for the bodies, you know, that's like that, okay? The one is the another, then you know, offering clothes, you know, clothes. Chicho. Chicho. So then sometimes that. And typically in India, they use like sandalwood, especially in South India where the Mai monastery is located. There's a place called Mysore, which is 2 hours, very famous for yoga. So a lot of people go there to study yoga. You know, so there, you know, the sandalwood, they have many, in India, the South has more sandalwood, so there's all kind of, you can buy sandalwood powder, oil, all kinds of things. So then if you mix that with the water, then you put that, that's called like perfume, okay? So also I heard, like, do you know animal muskak? Muskak? Musk? That looks like really strong, like long hair. Live in Alaska, somewhere in Alaska, I think. Yeah. Looks like much more stronger than Tibetan yak. Tibetan yak also have long hair, but that one looks really, really strong. Anyway, so I heard most of the perfume in developing country made out of that muskak pea. I'm not sure. So sorry to say. Anyway. So this here, you know, like that the perfume is like sandalwood oil and sandalwood powder that the mix with the water, then it's become perfume. So what they do, they put the sandalwood powder into a small piece of cloth, they tie them, you know, they just touch. You know, sometimes they put it, you know, here, there. So, in my class, you know, there's one African-American monk who came to my monastery. He's the first African-American monk who's actually from Atlanta. So he came, he traveled when he was 16. He traveled from here, he left his home, went to Germany, so walked there a little bit, then he buys camels, then he rides the camels to Afghanistan, Pakistan, then that's how he came to India. So when he came to India, he said he has one guitar. That's all he has. So anyway, we call, his nickname is called Yogi, because, Yogi, yeah. So he is, you know, huge, but compared to Tibetan size, you know, he's kind of really big and tall. Not big this way, but this tall. All the monks are there fascinated by to see him, you know, so they never saw in their entire life, you know. So everybody chasing him. So he came to monastery, so when he was, I think, probably early teen. So now he lives in Atlanta. He speaks fluent Tibetan. He lives in Atlanta. So he's in my class. So now we every subject that we learn, we debate in the class, that we push back and forth. The monastery, you know, all the debate classes outside, it's not, you know, there's no AC, no air condition like that. So he smells very bad, really, when he sweats. So then, you know, sometimes when you push your hands, go here, you know, you grab them like that. Somehow, we have this special name for that, I'm not sure, called Sipti. Sipti? So anyway, and then eventually I caught the smell, it's contagious. not just that, no, I have one shirt. No, monastery, we are very poor. No, so I have this one very nice looking yellow, pure yellow shirt, like this shirt. Actually, I think it belongs to him. So then I borrow from him. So somehow, my friends, they are telling me that I had that smell. So they are saying that I should put the raw onion here. Raw onion, I have to run like miles, you know, to get rid of that smell. So anyway, so I'm not sure how much truth is there. Maybe they are teasing. I took that very seriously, put raw onion there, or run. And, so then we, how was it called? It's not a good joke, but you know, then we call him Centerwood. Centerwood. Not just that, but there's also some people from Ladakh. Ladakh is like very north part of India. So some of those people also had that, you know, smells. Not everybody has smells very, you know, especially when they get hot, then it smells very bad. So then, you know, slowly, one person sit down, one person, as you debate, you know, everybody wants to say something. The person who is answering, then you are kind of like debating with that person, you know, so that everybody has something to say. Then they try to get their chance to push. Then you say that they push, you know. When he stands up, you know, there's another person from Ganyan Monastery, kind of skinny one. And when they stand up, slowly, one monk sit down, slowly, not saying anything, you know, don't say. So that they can have all the time. Anyway. So then, because the cause, no cause for that, you know, that in the I read somewhere in some text, you know, that like burning something that smells very bad, burning, actually disturbing other people's, you know, with the bad smell. That's, you know, kind of, then the kind of, it says that's the kind of result. So anyway, So anyway, so there's actual offerings. The offering, you know, that you make here at the center, water bowl offerings, the flower, all this. You know, this is actual offerings. Then there's called another one called the mental offering. So then there's called inner offering. There's many, many different types. So there's all mentioned. This all is mentioned in the Malamrim. So we don't need to go details. As I said, if you want to know details about the offerings, then you know, I will definitely, you know, give you this explanation, okay? So actually, there's actual offering, you know, this all offering that you can see, you know, you can see. So the mental offerings, you know, that you just created in your mind, you just create, just visualize, you know, death of the best, everything. The idea is, you know, to even just giving food, you know, doesn't have to be on altar, even just giving food, bringing food to the food bank, there's also offerings, you know. So this here is also important. So here in the text it says, all prostration to the enlightened beings, visualized enlightened beings from the 10 directions. It doesn't really mention certain beings. So when you read the Shantideva text, Shantideva says, Simjim namda jawale. Simjim is sentient beings. Jawa means, you know, victory won, enlightened beings, you know, or holy beings, you know, holy beings. Simjim namda jawale. Sanje churub jawale, you know. So you will get enlightened, you know, equally depending on holy beings and sentient beings. Okay. Simjim namda jawale. Sanje churub jawale. So jala kujin teshi into simjim lamichi. So you have a whole lot of respect to the holy beings, you know, enlightened beings, and all the objects on the altar. You have all, you know, this the holy image, you have a whole lot of respect. When it comes down to sentient beings, you don't have respect. So Shantideva say, oh, what kind of behavior is that? And so Shantideva said, that doesn't make sense. So here, so we have to learn, you know, showing respect to enlightened beings, that's prostration, showing respect physically, verbally, mentally. Verbally, that you praise them. Mentally, you think good about them, you know, even though they have anger, but, you know, they have done, you know, so many good things. You think about them rather than thinking just, you know, like something negative, okay? So they're helping them, you know, giving them emotional support, you know, mental support, physical support. This is all offerings, okay? So that's done equally. Enlightened beings, sentient beings, they're equally, you know, importance for our own, you know, future enlightenment. When it comes down, our own future enlightenment, that these two objects are equally important. So therefore, we should not make distinguish, you know. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, then, so that's pretty much what is said in the Lamrim here, these books, you know, about offerings. Oh, yeah. So then the last one, the number third one is like confession. Confession. Dejection, that the moon, the word says, not dejection, that the moon, so dejection, that the moon, so it says like attachment, anger, ignorance. Tamala, what do you say?
Here it says attachment, hostility, or ignorance.
Dejection, no, hostility. Hostility?
Or anger?
Got it. So what is that word? Hostility. There's anger?
Yes, it's
same as anger? Oh, anyway, dejection, no, timu, then the ignorance. They just mentioned what you call. In Buddhism, what you call this? Called three poisons. Three poisons? Whenever you see word three poisons, that's what it means. Attachment, anger, then ignorance. When you go down, so in front of our beautiful cafe, our old Starbucks here, in front of that, there's one thanga. That's called Wheel of Light. Middle of the thanga, there's no the snake symbolizes anger. There's rooster symbolizes attachment. Then the pig, P-I-G, pig. Yeah, pig. So that symbolizes ignorance. So this, that's the, you know, this is why we go round and round and round and round and round because of these three things. So this is, they try to, this is art. So, you know, talking about art, you know, so then here, I think developing country, people really has very much on about art, people really like. So then, yeah, right, because, you know, art do express something, some kind of knowledge express. So this is art that express our cycle of life. That's why life cycles, like, because of in the center of the wheel, so they're, you know, they're supposed to draw like the rooster and the snake supposed to come out of pig out of pig's mouth. You know, that's how you're supposed to write. That's how you're supposed to paint. The rooster and the snakes coming out of the pig's mouth. So sometimes you see, you know, they are like coming out each. Then the correct way to paint is like the both of them coming out of the pig's mouth. So now, you know, they kind of line up, like anyway. So this is called three poisons. You know, three poisons: attachment, anger, ignorance. This is called three poisons. You know. Then, then sometimes you see, you know, three root virtues. That means opposite of them, opposite of anger, cause non-anger, non-attachment, non-ignorance. How you say? That's how I say in English. You say non-attachment? Non-attachment, non-ignorance, non-anger. Huh? No, it's not, that's not. So you say, like, how you say, same like, do you say non-attachment?
Yes, there are one you say, but the other two
you
don't. You don't say non-ignorance.
Oh, then you must say. You must. from now on, you have to say that. Yeah. That's how I say, non-attachment, non-anger, non-ignorance. These are like called three root verses. So what I want you to know is, when you see this word, not three of them, when you see three root verses, that's what it means. Non-attachment, non-anger, non-ignorance, that's what it means, okay. Then, three poison, there's no attachment like that, okay. So now, this is... So then can you say this
whatever sins I have done to the body, speech, or mind under the influence of attachment, hostility, or ignorance, I confess each and every one of them.
Confess individually.
Each and every one of them.
Mm. Yes, you should say individually, but it's okay. You know, you should say individually, rather than each and every one of them.
Yes.
You should say individually. But that's meaning, why you should say individually, that's meaning. So like when it's come down on the vows, you know, there's reason. You know, each vows, you confess them according to their systems. That's why, you know, individually, Pratimosha vow, Buddhist vow, Tantric vow, the way they confess according to their, you know, systems, you know. That's why they should say individually rather than each and every one of them. So before that, before confession, you know, so say you did something wrong, okay. So so it's like kind of. Whatever the action is, if it's done immediately after that, if you have this, if you say, if you think I'm going to hide, not tell anybody, go chop, okay, chop. So, so then, when you do confession, you know, practice, so you have to visualize, that you are telling everything, You have to, supposed to visualize from your heart. You are, you know, telling everything whenever you do confession practice. Okay. So now here, I think this is, you know, important. So to learn, you know, how to confess the negative deeds, how to confess. At the initial stage, you know, to how to say, what do you call this? Four power. For opponent powers, can somebody please say that in English? Reliance. If you fall, if you fell on the ground, you're supposed to stand up from the ground. No. Otherwise, you can, you know, if there's something to grab, you can grab. You know, and if you just fall here, so you have to stand up. That is leaning on the ground. Okay. So similarly here, you know, so has the power of reliance. Tenjitop. It's called Tenjitop. So typically, according to Buddhism, what is that? There is no taking refuge and generating bodhicitta. There's power of reliance, okay? When you say, when you take refuge Buddha Dhamma Sangha, then you say this holy stanza that's supposed to be power of reliance, you know? But that's very much done within your mind, you know? It's not just simply saying the word, okay, power of reliance, Tenjitop. So then, what's another one? Remedy, you know, can be like, according to the Lam Rim teaching, reciting mantra, reciting sutra, reciting, you know, like the mantra, also like reciting Lama Tsongkhapa's names, Tara's names, all this, you know. Then meditating on emptiness, or then building a holy object, you know, the stupa, temple, the statues, and things like that. Okay, then that includes all the voluntary works here at the center. Here at the center, everybody's a voluntary here, you know, voluntary. This all that includes the, all the voluntary work at the center. That's also, you know, part of remedy. You know.
Regret.
So that's very important here. This, I think this is also important. So it's, instead of guilt, you regret. So, as I said many times, you know, you can say, you know, if some of your teeth is hurting you very badly, you cannot say, oh, you should take it out. No, you should say, oh, I'm not going to take it out because of my teeth, even if it's causing problems. That's just saying, okay? So here, the word, I think, I think much better to use regret than guilt. No, I feel guilty. No, so there's nothing positive about. There's no positive. No, there's no positive. So you could say I feel bad. I feel bad. But feeling bad towards something bad is good. Feeling bad towards something good, that's bad. Okay. Feeling bad about eating chocolate chips cookie, I think that's not good. So you shouldn't fast, you shouldn't eat. Once you eat, you should enjoy, you shouldn't feel bad. It tastes so good, you know, so you know, why you feel bad? Then feeling bad about eating kale. That's not good. That's not good. This is not good. Anyway, feeling bad about bad things, good. Even though you say bad is good. Feeling bad about something good, no, that is bad. Feeling good about something good. Feeling bad about something good is bad. No? Feeling bad about something bad, that's good. That's good, you know. So you don't use the word guilt, you know. That's how you can say regret, you know, regret. Oh, and yoga. So that's power of regret. Then another one. Not do it again. Don't do it again. Yeah, that's the whole sentence. So then, you know, that one is like, you know, one day at a time. One day at a time. Because every day, one day at a time, you know, you think. So you don't live with your past, you know, if there's good memory, you can live with that. There's nothing wrong. If there's bad memory, you don't live your present moment with that. You know, there are many box. So we should not mix all them together. There's box, you know. So we all have different box. So what I'm saying, when you remember something negative in the past, what you do, you purify them as much as you can. It will purify, you know. So if there's something good, then you can remember. So anyway, enlightenment, the year or month, the day, hour, the minute, it's called, comes out this moment, right? This moment. Everything becomes this moment. So this moment is very important. So one day at a time, one day at a time, one day at a time. So then, remember that, so this is important. I think this is the reason I'm saying this. Karma lenam sabasangen las. Positive karma, negative karma is very much based on intention. Intention kana sabasangen las. Sabasana sadana mesas. If the mind is pure, positive action, even though looks kind of violence, kind of negative, but it's not negative because the power of the mind, okay? If the mind is good, that means the root is good. Root is medicine. You can't say, okay, that tree branch is poison. It's not poison because even though it looks like poison, it's not poison because the root is medicine. That's like Lama Tsongkhapa statement, okay? If the mind is negative, no matter how the actions looks like, it is negative. Okay? Therefore, everything is dependent on the mind. Everything depends on the mind. That's Lama Tsongkhapa said. So then, Lama Tsongkhapa said that that's Lama Tsongkhapa's comments, and there's a sutra. In the sutra is what it says. Everything is like, condition. Everything is conditions. Why? Because it's very much based on the mind. That's what it said, the sutras. So then there's, after that there's Nagarjuna statement, then there's Lama Atishas, if the root is poison, then everything, tree, the branch, the flower, everything becomes poison. If the root is medicine, then everything becomes medicine. So now we learn good karma, bad karma, it all comes down to mind. It all comes down to mind, okay? Comes down to mind. So these are the four power, I think, is necessary. If you want to confess, it's necessary. So then now the beautiful of this compassion practice, so when you purify, usually when you think about something negative, it hurts. So when you do compassion practice, and you deliberately bring all that negative things up, you deliberately bring them up, so then you purify them. After that, you feel good, okay? So now... There must be way to purify our karma. Otherwise, nobody's perfect till you reach enlightenment. Everybody makes mistakes. Here everybody makes mistakes. And it's come down like how is this? Especially when it's come down to karma. Karma is very, very complicated. Some of the karma has been created as a group. Between two people, three people, five people, 10 people, 100 people, 1,000 people, 10,000 people, the karma has been created, commonly created. And there are so many karma that's been created individually. Individually created karma, So then some of once the karma has been created, if you don't purify them, you have to experience the result. So all the difficulty that we experience, mental difficulty, physical difficulties in this life, some of them probably, like a result of some of the previous karma. every living being is functioning based on their karma. So giving that fact is quite amazing that we still get along quite well. two different mindsets. You are thinking something every moment, I'm thinking something different, but still we have some common interest. I think that giving the fact effect of karma. It's quite amazing that, you know, we get along together. It's quite amazing. You know? Everybody, you know, like, you know, if it's a machine, then there's two different machines, has totally different features, different way of functioning. You know, that's everybody's functioning based on their karma. So that's quite amazing, you know, that people get along. So anyway, so that's what you do in Buddhism, you know, you confess, you know, if you don't feel good, what you do, instead of, you know, living your life with that memory, you confess them. Confess, you know, confess them, okay? So then, as I said, many examples like, so that's the purification practice that we need to do. You know, simply sitting there and hoping that it will go away. It will not go away. Like the dishes in the sink. You know, so if you use one plate, if you clean right away, you will not see the dirty dishes. There's no sink. If you eat one day, they say, okay, I'll clean maybe after 1 hour, I need to do some email or some whatever. Then I'll say, okay, I want to eat something. Oh, I don't want to clean this. I want to use another plate. Then you put another plate. Then eventually it's kind of piles up in the sink. Even though you have this, you know, this nice brush to clean, all kind of brush, you know, there's some brush you have to put the soap, some brush is, you can put soap into the brush, you know, all kind of things. Then you have this everything, then you have all the, how is it, conditions. If you just sit there and wish, you know, all dishes to be clean, right, that's not going to clean, you have to move. So then next time, if you be more mindful, then, you know, like that, you know, so you can just sit there, you know, sit and meditate and wish, you know, that all the dishes are going to be clean. You know, even though, you know, like washing machines, you have to put it inside and you have to do all kinds of things. You have to know how to purify, otherwise, so, Gishi Sambo and me, when we moved that house, so, me, Gishi Sambo, Tenzin, Norbu, none of us has idea how to use washing machines. Dishwashers. So then everybody putting something, I put something, you know, there's all kind of holes in the, what do you call it, there's the drawer, there's all kind of holes there, you have no idea where to put it. So then I'm the only one who read a little bit, and I read something, couldn't understand why, looks like this is the way to put the soap. Anyway, everybody kind of excited, that's the first time, you know, like, kind of like, using the dishwasher in your own house, that's a big deal. So, you know. All of a sudden, then I decided to pour this, you know. So when you wash the dishes, there's like... there's some hole there, I just put it there. It's not feeling, I just put it over there. Somehow then, put it back there, you know, put it there. Run the machines, then we all went downstairs to talk, eat. When we come back, everything, all the bubbles, the kitchen is kind of like floating with the bubbles. So now nobody knows how to open the machines, but that's not open the machines. It's kind of pouring from there, you know. So that's, you know, if you don't know how to purify, Yeah, you have all the conditions, everything, but you don't know. One power is missing. Out of four power, one power is missing. So then, when you open that, the dish is not clean. All the four powers coming out of the. Time's up. Almost finished one page, okay? Almost. Okay. So, and, you know, reciting like the Vajrasana mantra 21 times. No, 21 times in the evening. 21 times in the evening. Otherwise, it says, I'm not sure Maybe you should say something. What do you think? Do you believe that, you know, the negative things multiplies? Huh? It says, for example, I will give you one example, then we will maybe a little bit discussion, even though time is up, I didn't know anymore. How is about, you know, just take example like, if you kill one buck, there's one buck that you kill. If you don't purify that, second day, then you will end up with karma killing two bucks. What do you think about that? What do you think about that? They just want to hear. What do you think about that? If you don't purify, it kind of multiplies. Second day, there's karma killing $2. Third day, there's karma killing $3. What do you think? That's what is said in the text, you know, that multiplies. So therefore, reciting Vajrasattva mantra at least 21 times before go to bed, that kind of stops multiplying the karma. At least it stops whatever karma. That's pretty good. Stop. But reciting the Vajrasattva mantra, the long one, is a little bit difficult, but it can be done within 10 minutes. I think. I don't think it will take 10 minutes. But short one, it will even won't take 5 minutes. No, 5 minutes before go to bed. If you recite that, it will stop multiplying the karma. So now, what do you think? What do you think?
That's
terrifying. No. Yeah. So, but you know, one hand is kind of terrifying, but other hand, easy to stop.
Yeah.
It's not that difficult to stop.
Is there a way to burn the negative seed so it never ripens?
Yeah, you purify with the four powers, you purify them.
It'll never ever manifest?
No, I don't think so. Once you purify, you know, otherwise, like, it's like almost like cleaning the dishes. If you clean that plate, if you worry that plate is going to get dirty without using it, so then that's kind of scary. So you clean the dishes, you put it there, all of a sudden you get very dirty again. So that's not going to happen, right?
So you actually, with the four powers, you actually burn.
Yeah, you purify them. You purify, yeah, you purify the fire, but purify them. So now one hand is kind of terrifying, the other hand is easy to stop. So now what I want to hear is like, what do you think about that? What do you think? That's what it said. So maybe that's not exactly what it means, but that's how it's written. Okay? So what do you think? Yeah, second day, that they say, according to the text, that you end up having the two killing karma, then one killing karma. You just kill one buck, then the second day, they are saying you killed now two bucks. Doesn't sound like fair. Yeah, Shannon.
Well, I don't know myself whether killing one bug the first day makes two bugs the second day, so on. But it makes sense to me in a way, because if you think about it, you know, each karma that we create basically has it's like the tree that you were talking about, right? So the karma that I create now, the actions that I take, that karma affects those actions, right? So as my actions multiply over time, that karma kind of continues to my actions. So in that way, it is multiplying, contaminating my mind.
So anyway, so maybe that's, you know, that's very good. Maybe that's a different way to look at it, you know, even though it says, you know, like, it sounds like unfair because I only took one life. Why you're telling me now I took two lives? That's not, you know, that's not right. So yeah, anyway, so maybe different way to look at it. So think about that, okay, think about that, please. Think, or maybe write it down. So I don't want to take much time, so write it down. So then what is important here, you know, to the Vajrasattva mantra, you know, it's easy to learn. Vajrasattva mantra, then even the short one, you can say 21 times, short one 21 times, that will, you know, stop multiplying. Short one. First, learn the short one. It's easy to say. Short one is easy to say. Then I think with strong regret, with strong regret, they say it'll stop. They could maybe could purify them. Okay. Mm. That's a long one. I used to say. Om Vajrasana. Oh yeah, that one. Om Vajrasana. The short one. It's very short. And always welcome to do the long one. Always welcome to the long one. The short one is easy to say. Yeah, 21 times. You know, 21 times. So then also, you know, like that we talk about the prostration, everything like that, you know. So it's very good, you know, it's important, you know, to create positive karma as much as you can throughout the day. You know, think something good. More powerful positive karma you can create is mentally. Mental karma is much more powerful. Okay, mental. So when I was in California last November, so in the Vajrapani Center, they have this like redwood tree. So when you pick up the seeds, it's like this. It's very small. When you look at the tree, it's like huge and real tall. Hard to imagine, you know, holding that seed on your hand. So then, you know, just visualizing, you know, like that gigantic trees is coming out of this. Hard to believe. Right? How to believe that? Same, this life, same, you know, it's like, it's drop, small drop. So now like they're this, you know, how to believe. So that's same, you know, like you may think, oh, the positive karma, you know, that even though it seems like smaller as redwood tree seeds, it's small, even the smaller that, it seems like that, but the result, there's external causalities, so the result is going to be huge. That's why they're saying, oh, Mary, that you created today, if this appear in the form, this universe is too small to hold, the merit that you created, that's exactly what it means. So they are talking about the result of the merit that you've been created here. If that appears in the form, this universe is not big enough to hold that merit. So now see, so there's no, you can hold like 100 like seeds of like redwood tree in this, in your, how is it, palm, but you can simply hold even one tree, the smallest one you can hold. Even this room is too small to hold that tree, no? But you can hold this 100 seed here, but this 100 seed is going to become like, you know, if this meets with the proper conditions, it's going to be 100, you know, different redwood tree, you know, some of them then become like grandfather, forest of the grandfather, forest of the grandmother, or something like that. Anyway, so that's not external causality. So that's why, you know, saying that the creating, you know, the merit, you know, the result, you know, when you think about result, is going to be huge, okay? Oh, that's a good question, yeah. So that's why it doesn't sound like fair. yeah, same. Merit also probably multiplies. So, but, you know, that's very good questions. So they didn't say that like that. No, they only said negative karma multiply. They didn't say positive karma multiplies. But you know, they didn't say. They say if you take one life, if you don't purify next life, you end up taking two lives. But I think same. If you say one box, next day probably multiplies. Okay. So then I think dedication is very important. Once you create positive karma, you must dedicate it. Otherwise, you know, sometimes I was wondering, you know, when you go to flea market, all of a sudden, that what you call this stroller, then you see this dog, cat, you know. Somehow they created the karma to be treated like human, but that karma is not complete, but they are still animal, but, you know, they're all dressed, you know, they have some ribbons here, and all those are very cute. Yeah, so think about karma. What kind of karma that is created? What kind of like some, you know, good karma has been created? You know, that somebody is treating like you human. There's nothing wrong that you get. You know, you've been treated like that. You know, the going to flea market, this, you know, the strollers. You know, but But you are not completely, you know, as the karma is not completely. I think what went wrong as far as dedication, you know, there's lack of dedication, you know. Okay? So, anyway, so we'll stop here. So we stop confession. So then next, Thank you very much. Thank you for coming to class. And thank you for all the people who's watching online, and have a wonderful night.